Thank you. You may be seated this morning. So we continue to follow Jesus. We are going to be in the book of John chapter 12 this morning. But this morning, I want us to wrestle with a question.
Has anyone here ever heard a voice speak?
Okay. Well, at least all of us can answer yes now, right? And it's going to make it a lot easier for us to talk about something this morning. Now, just in case anyone was wondering, that really wasn't the voice of God. That was just Joel with a mic in the sound room. But it does help us kind of feel what the disciples and the crowd that were gathered around Jesus at this moment in time were about to feel and about to understand. And when we follow along with them this morning, there's going to be a lot that we can learn about listening to and hearing that wonderful and amazing voice of God. But before we can start, though, we have to start with where we left off last week. Jesus addressing the crowd the Monday before the cross, the day after the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. So let's get back into John chapter 12 and see what's happening next. In verse number 27, we read this. Now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? But this is the very reason I came. Father, bring glory to your name. Then a voice spoke from heaven, saying, I have already brought glory to my name, and I will do so again. And when the crowd heard the voice, some thought it was thunder, while others declared an angel had spoken to him. But before we get to the voice, we first have to tackle something that Jesus said. He said, my soul is deeply troubled. Well, why is this an important thing for us to bring up first? Well, first and foremost, Jesus said it, and John recorded it for us to have. But beyond that, it also shows us something that, let's say, we can relate to, right? Well, what am I getting at? Well, let's break it down this way. The word used for soul can also be translated life. Now, the literal translation of this word would be the life inside of us. Inside of you and me, there is life. Life inside of us. Now, this is where we get to put together our word soul with this literal definition of the life inside of us and grasp and understand that our soul is who we are inside, the part of us that lives on after we die. Each and every one of us has a soul, something inside of us that lives on, that makes us us. Whether you call it the seat of your emotions, what really makes you you, however you want to think about it, that is really who you are. If you see a car driving down the road, you don't think to yourself, that car is driving down the road. Well, unless you got a Tesla, but that's another issue. But for the most part, it's who's in the car that's driving the car. Who's in the car is determining the speed, the direction, which way it goes, how loud the radio is or isn't. It's you inside of the car that's making the car move. And inside of each and every one of us, we have a soul. It's inside of us right now. But sometimes we can think that it's the external things that make us us. Sometimes we think it's what we drive and not who's driving it. Or sometimes we think that if we lose something, it will really affect who we are. Let me explain it this way. I lost my hearing in my right ear. And let's just say I thought it was really going to change who I am. I did. I thought that that whole experience would change me. Now, is it frustrating? Yes. Does it frustrate me? Oh, yeah. Does it frustrate Ginger a lot more than me? A lot of times, yes, it does. Because she tries to talk to me, and I don't hear her. And it's not that I'm trying to ignore her, honest. State that for the record. But there's times I just can't hear. But I can honestly say this. Even though a brain tumor took away my hearing, it didn't change who I am on the inside. I thought it was going to affect me. I thought it was going to change me. But even though I woke up from the surgery and I couldn't hear, it didn't change who I was. Because on the inside, I'm still me. And it doesn't matter what happens to our outside or what happens in these mortal bodies. It didn't change who God created or made me to be. And yes, I know that one day soon, he's either going to heal my ear and I can hear, or when I stand before him with a new body, totally and completely healed, I'll be able to hear the praises of God. I know it. But I also know that everything that I've been through reassures me that who I am inside, no matter what happens to this earthly body, is going to continue to be me. And that's what's going to live on forever. But since Jesus is saying this and showing us this, I want you to see that the human side of Jesus didn't want to experience everything that was coming. Jesus was telling us his soul inside of him. He was relating to us. What's inside of us, what makes us us, what's inside of Jesus didn't want to experience everything that was coming his way. Because remember, this is Monday and Friday's the cross. He knew it was coming and the cross was going to hurt. A lot. And it was going to hurt more for just the nails going through and the beating and the crown of thorns, because your sin and my sin, the weight of our sin was going to rest upon him as well. And I don't know what sin on your shoulders feels like, but it wasn't just mine and it wasn't just yours. It was everyone's for all times. It was on his shoulders. And that brought about the pain of being separated from his heavenly Father for the very first time. And I don't blame him for wanting to not go through that in any way, shape, or form. Because let's face it, we as humans don't want to have to experience something hard. Especially if there's another way to do it that's a whole lot easier. I mean, we've got a great American motto, right? Work smarter, not harder. It's kind of the American way that we do things. We figure out easier ways to do things than the hard ways that we used to. It's what we do. But Jesus shows us his human side. My heart is troubled. I don't really want to do all of this. But while he's showing us that his heart, or his, that his soul is troubled, he also shows us his heart. I could pray, Father, save me from this. But he tells us simply that this is the very reason why he came. He said it so that we would know that he was willingly laying his life down for each and every one of us. And so that when the crowd would see Jesus lifted up on the cross, that they could remember that they heard that he said that he was doing it for them. It's not only the reason why he came, but it is the reality for us that there was no amount of pain or agony that was going to keep him from doing it for us. And when Jesus gives us, reveals to us his plan, I want you to see something happened. Then a voice spoke from heaven. Not someone with a mic in a sound room, but the booming, audible voice of God. God reached down into human history in an event and actually spoke. And since we've been following Jesus along on this ministry journey, we've seen that this is now the third time that God the Father speaks out loud during Jesus' earthly ministry. The first time was at Jesus' baptism, at the very beginning of his ministry. As Jesus came out of the water, Matthew gives us this description. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy." And God spoke at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. The second time that we heard the Father speak was at the Transfiguration. At least that's what we call it. Jesus was on a mountain, and Moses and Elijah had came to help minister to him. And then Matthew records this. A bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy. Listen to him." So he says the same thing that he said the first time. "This is my Son, my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy." But this time he adds, "Listen to him." He's showing you the way. He's giving you the truth. "This way you will know who I am. Listen to him." And the third time that God speaks, well, he gives us not, this is my son. He doesn't add, listen to him, and then this. He gives us actually something very different. This time he says, I have already brought glory to my name, and I will do so again. Now, Webster's defines glory as praise, honor, a state of great exaltation. But there's more to glory than just a definition, isn't there? Because when we look at God's word and we see glory, we see it typically defined as an attribute of God that is described as something about God, specifically God in heaven, typically. And that if we ever on earth ever get to see a glimpse, a shadow, a part of God's glory, well, most of us humans can't stand in the presence of it. As a matter of fact, when we read scripture, we see that we happen to fall down a lot when we get a glimpse of God's glory in heaven. So if it has something to do with the glory of God, we can understand that it's more than something we can really comprehend here on earth, because we don't grasp and have a good understanding of what God's glory really is. We've read John try to wrestle with it in the book of Revelation. He tried to use human words and understanding to try to give us an idea. He's standing there in front of God's throne, and he's seeing God's glory. And he's trying to describe to us that it's more than what he can see. He can feel it. He can hear it. It's all around him. And he's trying to describe for us what God's glory really is. And all the words that he's using really is an injustice of what just that glimpse of God's glory is really like. And here God is talking to us about something we really don't understand, his glory. But yet God shows us something about Jesus and his glory. That Jesus doesn't just have glory, but glory without limit. Now let me explain, because glory without limit is shown to us by two words that are used here. First is already. He already had it from the very beginning, before time began. Jesus already had glory. He was God in he was God already. He had all of this glory. There was never a moment that he didn't have it. And he will do so again. That just as he automatically always had it, he always will. So there's never a moment that Jesus doesn't have or live in God's glory. But the voice spoke to us to let us know something special. That God is going to use Jesus to do something that will bring his glory into every heart and life that comes to him in repentance and forgiveness. Well, how can you say that, Pastor? Well, look at verse 30. Then Jesus told them, the voice was for your benefit, not mine. The time for judging this world has come, when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. And he said this to indicate how he was going to die. Well, first, let's look at what is meant by Jesus saying, the time has come for judging this world, or the time for judging this world has come. And Jesus tells us plainly that God wasn't speaking for him, but for us. So we can think of it this way. The voice wasn't to comfort Jesus, but to show us what was coming next. The voice was for our benefit, so that we could know that the sacrifice that Jesus was about to make, that being lifted up on the cross, was going to give Jesus all of the power that he needed to judge the world. But he wasn't talking about when we stand before him. He talks about something else, something with a spiritual consequence, something that was going to happen spiritually when he was lifted up, that Satan was going to be judged. That the power of Satan over our hearts, over our lives, was going to be broken. That his judgment was going to begin. That his power over people, over you, over anyone, was going to be broken because of the power of the cross. It will bring about a release of Satan's power over people's lives. Satan will not be able to stand against a heart that is going to be filled with the love and power and grace of God. Because God, in his glory, is going to put his glory in our hearts. What was that, Pastor? Well, we asked Jesus into our hearts and our lives, and there was never a moment that Jesus didn't have glory. And if he's in us, we have a glimpse of that glory. living in us. And that's possible because Jesus on the cross broke Satan's power over us. And because he broke Satan's power, Jesus now has the power and ability to draw everyone to myself. That's what he says. So we can understand what he's saying. This will happen when he is lifted up. In other words, because of the cross, because of the price of redemption, because of the work that Jesus will do for us on the cross, Jesus also has the power and ability to do something. Not only because he beat the power of Satan, but because he beat the power of Satan, he tells us that I will draw, to cause to move continuously towards, to pull towards, to move towards. Because of the cross, Jesus now spiritually has the ability to pull people towards himself. Now stop and think about that for a minute. This is how people respond to Jesus. Jesus pulls on our hearts. He pulls on our lives. And we have the choice to respond and accept what he's pulling, accept his love, accept his grace. Or according to Paul in the book of Romans, we can suppress that truth. That's pushing it down. We can feel God pulling us to something, and we can go, no. We can feel God saying, this is wrong, don't do it. And we can say, no, I want to do it anyway. We still have a choice. We can fight against what God is doing. We can push it down. Or we can accept and move towards him. But all day, every day, God's love is on display. And he's constantly calling us and the lost to him. He never stops. But not everyone makes the right choice. Listen to verse 34. The crowd responded, we understood from Scripture that the Messiah would live forever. How can you say the Son of Man will die? And just who is the Son of Man anyway? Jesus replied, my light will shine for you for just a little longer. Walk in the light while you can, so the darkness will not overtake you. For those who walk in the darkness cannot see where they are going. But you trust in the light, where there is still time. Then you will become children of the light. And after saying these things, Jesus went away and was hidden from them. But despite all the miraculous signs Jesus had done, most of the people still did not believe in him. And this is exactly what Isaiah the prophet had predicted. Lord, who has believed our message? And to whom the Lord has revealed his powerful arm? But the people couldn't believe. For as Isaiah also said, the Lord has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so that their eyes cannot see and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and have me heal them. Isaiah was referring to Jesus when he said this, because he saw the future and spoke of the Messiah's glory. Now, because we have a choice, we have to stop and talk for a minute about darkness versus light. You see, we have a choice in whether we believe or whether we walk away. The cross made a way for us to live in God's light. But not just live in God's light, Jesus tells us to actually be children of light. But the choice is still ours. And that means this morning that we have a choice in which kingdom we are going to walk in. We choose whether we're going to live in darkness or in light. We choose what we will do with Jesus and his sacrifice. And we are the only ones who can make that choice. No one can decide for you. You are the one that has to decide if you're going to walk in darkness and spend eternity in hell, or if you accept God's offer of grace and walk in his light, which leads to paradise for all eternity. And we make that choice each and every day. And whether we let Jesus pull us towards him, or if we push him away. Each and every day we make that choice. Every hour we make that choice. Whether we respond and get pulled closer, or we push him away. But before we call ourselves children of light, we have one more thing that we really have to consider. Look at what's said in verse 42. Many people did believe in him, however, including some of the Jewish leaders, but they wouldn't admit it for the fear of the Pharisees would expel them from the synagogue, for they loved human praise more than the praise of God. You see, many people believed, but there was a problem. And the problem came that, and it was this. It was what people loved to hear. And the problem was, is that it wasn't the voice of God. That voice of God wasn't what they wanted to hear. They believed, but something else was pulling them in the other direction. They believed and they could feel and they could see that Jesus was more than what he was talking about. It was more than what the crowds. I believe that he's the Messiah, but if I really live it, some things might happen. And I'd rather be accepted. I'll go to church for something special, but I'll get around to making time for God. But right now, you see, they had the right idea. Jesus has to be the Messiah. But the problem was is they didn't live like they believed it. They could have walked in the light, but they made a choice to not walk in the light because they would rather hear someone else. Jesus put it this way. They loved human praise more than the praise of God. They loved what other people said more than the reality of what living for God really was. They loved what other people said more than responding to God's pull on their hearts and their lives. They would rather hear people say, "You're such a good parent for taking your kid to all those sporting things. Look at how many Sundays you give up for your kid. You're such a good parent." Instead of teaching and training their kids how to praise and worship God. "You've got such a great heart for your community. Just look at all the things you're involved with. But yet, if you don't talk about or share Jesus with any of those things that you're doing, then what good are we really doing?" And please understand this morning. I'm not saying that it's wrong to do other things than read your Bible and go to church. But if you do all these other things and neglect your time with God, then we might be doing things for the praise of man and not because God's leading and guiding. So this morning, make sure that this isn't a problem for you. Don't live your life just to hear what other people say about you. "Oh, you're so good at that," right? We like that. "If it wouldn't have been for you," man, we like that one too, don't we? "You are truly amazing." And for the record, we do like hearing all of those things. It's kind of programmed inside of us. We respond to that. But listen, the problem comes when we live to hear the "well done" from the wrong voice. We should want to hear the "well done" from Jesus. "Well done, you good and faithful servant. Enter into my paradise. It's yours to enjoy." But the problem is, if we spend our life just to hear what other people say about how good we are. "You're so much better than that person. You're sure to get it. Oh, you're doing so. Look, you're okay." If we live our lives just to hear what other people say about us, I want you to know that we risk the chance of standing in front of Jesus and hearing that voice that we were supposed to be listening to tell us, "Depart from me, I never knew you." "But Jesus, didn't we do this? Look at how much everybody said I was so good. Look at how much everybody said I gave up things." But he'll tell us, "I never knew you." Jesus puts it to us this way. "My sheep know my voice, and they follow." And this morning, we have to make sure that we don't follow the wrong voice. The praise of men will always lead us in the wrong direction, and it will eventually lead us to the wrong place. So don't get so caught up trying to live how this world says that we should. No, this morning the choice is up to you on how you live and what you do, on whose voice you respond to. And since it's our choice this morning, I have to ask, what do we live to hear? Because we live to hear a voice, and we will always respond to that voice. But today we need to examine, whose voice does our soul respond to? Who we are on the inside. Who we are at home when no one else is around. Not who we are at church, but who we are when it's just us. Who does our soul respond to? Do we listen to the voice of God? Or then do we listen to what other voices say? Well, this person at work said, I need to try this. Right? Oh, they had a real smart story on the news, so I think I really need to do this. And does our soul respond and move when God stirs in our hearts and we hear his voice? But if we're going to respond to the voice of God, we also, I guess, have to answer this question. Do we believe that God wants to speak to us? Do you believe that he's really trying to draw you closer to him? Do you really believe that he's trying to make a difference in you? That he loves you so much that he wants to use the Holy Spirit to speak to you and show you and lead you into all truth, to show you who he is, to show you his love, to show you he cares? Because he does. He loves us that much. And he's always calling out to us. He's never stopped. Remember, even if we were the ones who pushed him aside, no, not now, no, I don't want to do that. Remember what his word says, that he stands outside of that door and he does something still. He knocks. Because he never stops trying to pull. He never stops trying to get our attention. He never stops trying to show us his love. The problem is sometimes we don't listen. Can we admit that? In a moment of honesty, let's admit it. Sometimes we don't listen. Sometimes we hear his voice and we don't respond. But just because we don't listen doesn't mean God isn't speaking. Just like some of the people who were standing there that day and heard the audible voice of God, looked around and said, yeah, that was thunder. Thunder words, who knew, right? Those clouds are special clouds. They're talking. Whoa. Because they refused to listen to the voice. They tried to come up with some other excuse, some other thing, so that they could push down what God was trying to say and live their own way. But this morning, do we respond to his voice? Do we respond to his voice? If God's trying to get our attention, it's typically for a good reason. If God's trying to give us a warning, it's typically for a reason and a purpose. And just look at all the thing that's going on in our country today alone. Viruses, forest fires, wave after wave of tropical storms, violence in the streets, and our country being torn in two. Do you think God is trying to get our attention? The correct answer is yes, by the way. But why? Because we don't have that much time left. We're not just living in the last days. We're living in the last day of the last days, if you will. There's not much time left. And Jesus wants us to be ready so that when he calls us home in that twinkling of an eye, that we will not just be ready, but we'll actually hear his voice and be ready to be welcomed home for all eternity. Because he wants us to respond. Do we hear his voice? But if we really want to hear his voice, I have one more thing for us to consider. And this is a lesson from my life. Are you ready? Are we in the right spot to hear his voice? As someone who struggles hearing, if I'm in another room and Ginger or one of the boys tries to talk to me, there's times I get lucky and hear what they say, and it blows their minds. How do you hear that? Because most of the time, what I hear is I hear their tones. I can tell it's Ginger talking, or I can tell it's Joel, or I can tell it's Carter, because I can hear the tone, but they all sound to me like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 right? I hear the voice, but I'm not in the right place to listen. And if I really want to hear what they're telling me, I have to go from that room to the place where they are so that I can hear. But I really need to even take it an extra step. Full disclosure here. I can't just be in the same room, because if I get distracted, I could still miss out what they're saying. I've got to be engaged and looking so that I can see their lips move and grasp what they're saying. I do. And if I want to hear, I have to be in the right spot to understand what they're saying. And spiritually, we can't think we're going to hear God's voice if we're not in the same room with Him. It's why last week Jesus told us that if we're going to be His disciples, we have to be where He is. We've got to be where He is. We might know that He's calling out to us, but if we really want to know what He's saying, we have to lay down what we're doing or what we're working on and make sure that we go to where He is. But sometimes we don't want to stop what we're doing. This is important. Look at what I'm right in the middle of this, God. Now is not the time for this. Right? We've been there. But if we feel His tug, and if we know He's calling, then we've got to put ourselves in the place so that we can hear. And also, for the record, we can't hear His voice clearly if we're doing all the things that He told us not to do. It's not going to happen. Because if we really want to hang on every word that He says, we must follow and learn to black out the other distractions that will keep us from hearing and knowing His voice. Because we can't claim to walk in the light if we're really walking in darkness. And if we're walking in darkness, we can't claim to be listening to the light. We've got to be where He is to hear His voice. Let Him draw. Let Him pull. Let Him bring you to the place where He wants us to be. Because our God wants to speak into your life. He loves you so much and so dearly that He hung on the cross. He didn't want to do it! But He loved you so much that there was no way He was not going to do it. So that we could come out of the darkness and live in His light. But it's all based on whether or not we respond to His voice. If we allow Him to pull us closer, or if we push Him down. And that choice is ours. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we ask that You would be with us. And Father, we ask that You would give us ears to hear and a heart to understand. Give us eyes to see. But Father, more than anything, help us to see right now whether or not we're listening. Help us to see if we're following. Help us to see if we're in the right place to hear Your word. And Father, help us to grasp and realize that You love us so much that You want to speak to us and lead us to Your throne and keep us safe and wrap Your arms of love around us. Help us to realize today just how important and special we are to You. That not only we can change from walking to darkness to light, but that change brings about a change in who we are. We're not just people walking in the light. We become sons and daughters of God. We become adopted in. We become part of the family. So, Father, for that to happen, help us to hear. Help us to always respond to Your voice. Help us not to push down that voice, but help us to listen. Help us to always hear it and know. And help us to respond. In Jesus' name, amen.